Welcome to Holden Village. Today in the Creekside Room, Linda Allen is giving a workshop titled God's Daughters, Part 1. So let's listen in on Linda Allen.
This class is called God's Daughters, and I wrote it up as exploring the feminine face of God, but I don't think that's quite accurate. It's exploring images of God. So we're going to broaden it out, but it's not necessarily feminine images of God. But basically, we attempt to kind of expand some of what that metaphor, what metaphors are useful to us when we think about God. So a little bit about who I am. My name's Linda Allen, and I've been a performing artist, a songwriter, and performer for over 25 years. And I'm married to Scott Slava, who is a seminary student, just finished his second year, and we have three children. A three-year-old and two teenagers, which keep us very busy. We are also co-directors of a new organization called the Northwest Center for Art and Community. We live in Bellingham, and that's what we're attempting to launch now. And this project, the God's Daughters Project, and what you're getting are the two workshops that I'm putting together as part of the project. And the project really grew out of, I'm sure, a lot of Scott's influence, a lot of the readings that he was doing and things he was learning and passing on to me, and a lot of my own interest in God image and expanding what those images are. I think it came for me, or probably was a journey that started some 20 years ago when I found myself, found myself uncomfortable with a lot of God image and therefore uncomfortable in church. And began exploring it through my own songwriting and through the music that I do, and just trying to figure out what's wrong with me that I can't fit. And then I started finding that there were a lot of friends around me, a lot of other women, who were also feeling frustrations, alienation with the church for various reasons, but often, how often it came down to language and all that that, because it's such a strong symbol, all that that meant. And so it became an object of interest to me, as I said, in a lot of the songs that I write started coming out. The songs that I've written have mostly been songs around social justice issues and have always circled around women's issues, women's history. Those have all been strong for me. So launching into connecting my spirituality with the songwriting and working up workshops that I want to present in churches, trying to prepare an album of songs which could work as a resource for churches, and again, expanding some of the ideas that I've been working on and seem to hit responsive chords for other women in and out of the church. So that's what the God's Daughters Project is. As I was preparing for the workshop, I found that I really had two strong areas that I wanted to cover, and one had to do with images of God. And the other had to do with biblical women, because just this past year I've done a lot of reading and exploring and finding out that I knew so little about women in the Bible. So we'll be concentrating more on that in the workshop on Friday. And today we'll be talking more about God images. I want to start, let's see, I'm going to pass around a book. Women at the Well. I'll be introducing several books that I found really useful, and these happen to be in the Holden Library. But Women at the Well had a section in which people were talking about how they think of God. So I'm going to just pass this around, and maybe you could read the first one, you could read the second, and we'll just go through this page and into, let's see where it begins.
I used to think of God as Father, which was good at the time because my own father was a positive influence on my life. With my more recent understanding of the role of women in the world, I can't imagine God as a male anymore. It's hard for me to imagine God in any human form now. I think of God as truth, life, love, energy.
I used to see myself as a child of God. as my father. Now I see myself as an adult in whom God resides. I find God in other people and relate to God through concern for them and for creating a just world, which I review as God's future reign.
I have come to a place where I no longer use words and images of prayer. When I need to use an image to communicate to someone, I use El Shaddai. The color purple, the fire, and the rose are one.
Excuse me just a minute. Do you have a question?
Oh, yes, welcome. I see myself as with God, in whom we live and move and have our being, closer than breathing. It used to be a hierarchy. Now it is cooperation, being with God. We both moved. God has come down, and I've gone up. The great dichotomy is dead.
My images of God vary. Sometimes they're from nature, a shelter from the storm, a warm, gentle sun, rain on parched earth. Sometimes God is a pregnant woman, a friend, a male lover.
Primarily, I image God as woman, as mother. I also have some familiar images from childhood. God is a tall evergreen tree. God is a rock. God is the ocean bed without which the ocean would not be ocean. God is fire. I'm especially drawn to John's various I am statements. The beating heart is a recent image from the past year or so. So is a clean brightness or radiant light.
I am often sheltered or protected by God. I am hugged or held, loved. Recently, I often stand or move forward with God behind me. Around me is a cloak. The picture of the child in the hand of God conveys the feeling, but that is not the image. I do not often now see myself as a child.
That may have been the last one. Well, I think the point that we're making, for those of you who just came in, there's a reason, by the way, we're sitting this far apart, so we'll get into that in a minute. We're talking about images of God. And though I started out by explaining it as feminine face of God, that really isn't fair, because for many people, some of the strongest images are males, and that works very well for them, or the father image works very well. So we don't want to narrow it and say we're going to omit those images. And many images of God that I find very powerful are non-gender. I wonder if we can take a few minutes now. I would like to know who you are, and one way, other than giving your name, is can you tell us one image of God that you find meaningful? And then I'm going to be writing them on the board. But if we can just, we'll start at this side.
Okay. You just want the image?
Yeah, I'll narrow it down to one or two words, but if you want to say more, that's fine. But introduce yourself first.
Okay, I'm Jonathan Betzall, and the image that I often center on in Meeting for Worship is a group of people dancing in a circle.
I get
it's like a presence kind of thing. It's not like a
we can't read that at all.
Oh, really?
No.
The yellow one we can't read? Oh, okay, thank you.
Unless you outline.
Okay. Good, thanks for letting me know. All right. How about the orange? Does that show up?
Yes.
Okay.
My name is Bob, and I recently had an experience with a capsized canoe with a lot of powerful water, and just now I was thinking that I think water would be my image of God at this time.
I'm Judy. First thing that came to me, I have lots of images. I have all the images you have. Too many sometimes, I think. I think the first one that came to mind is Mother.
I'm Rosie Betzel. I tend to think of the Creator as evidenced in the communion of saints, who for me are all the people past and present who have gone the path of righteousness or justice in the world. And so,
communion of saints.
Well, that's for a better lesson. Some take term to that.
Thank you.
Well, the reason we have the chairs pushed back is I'm going to ask you to take a little risk with me. And I'll tell you how this came about. I took a class in the fall called Dance and the Woman's Spirit. And I am not a dancer. I have never been a dancer, though I always had a lot of fantasies. But this wonderful teacher managed to get our entire class of primarily portly middle-aged women out into the middle of the room, enjoying ourselves thoroughly and feeling that we were all indeed dancers. And what I came out of in that class was, we are all indeed dancers. So one way to get in touch with some of these images of God, to think about that, is think about how to move, because I found it to be extremely powerful to move through some of these images and to actually feel as though you are the one who sows and gathers, or the one who makes the bread, or the water images. All of these can be very powerful and reaches a different part of your spirit when you move to it. So if you would just sort of go with me on this. And I'm going to put together some music. And those of you, if you really are uncomfortable trying to do this, please sit in the chairs, and that's just fine. But those who would like to try, would you come sit on the floor with me in a circle, and let's see where this leads. And you might take off your shoes. You might find that more comfortable. And what we're going to be doing is, I'm going to start the music, and we're going to start out by doing just a little bit of breathing together through the introduction. The introduction is just some drumming. It's quite different than when the music actually starts. And if you want to scoot your shoes sort of back out of the way so we don't stumble on them. And then as we begin moving, I'm going to be calling out different names from the board. And then you can start moving through and trying to, in whatever way you feel it. There are no rules to this dance. That's why I felt like such a success. I didn't have to learn steps. I didn't have to move in any certain way most of the time in that class. And it was truly allowing the spirit to come through. And it is true, we have all been, as a people, we have always been dancers, just as we have always been singers. It was just what people did. And it's only been in recent times that we've kind of segmented that and said, these are the singers, and these are the musicians, and these are the dancers, rather than understanding how important it is that it's something we all do together and that we all can do that. So that's why I'm asking you, I've never done this in a class before, but I'm loving the idea of it. So let's begin. Just by breathing together. Thank you. you to breathe together one more time. How'd that feel? Anybody have any comments?
It was more fun than I thought it'd be.
That's kind of what I found, too.
I'm very self-conscious about that sort of thing, so I just have to close my eyes and not look.
You're among friends. As far as I know, there's no professionals here.
It was almost over when I realized that I hadn't looked at anyone else, which was kind of a relief, actually. Perhaps no one else could look at me.
There's some other things that you said that I can even begin to think of a movement for that. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's kind of, and I just found my body wanting to do certain things, and I think it's an important thing to think of also movement as being not an image of God necessarily, but just the ways that your body wants to move that also are informed by God. And maybe that he's like light, I was just like,
I didn't feel anything about
light. I think it's so easy to forget how movement can be a form of worship, you know, that we're so used to sitting still. We forget that we can worship in any way. That's
true. It felt really joyful to seriously just like be together.
The image that came to me was, well, of course I didn't call out, it was communion of saints and people circle dancing. We were doing that. Sad image for me. And it felt good.
It was interesting how much the images, as you call them out, they just kind of merged together or blurred. I mean, there weren't distinctive differences, and yet, you know, we got a sense of the movement going on in the group. So, yeah, that's kind of the wind, or that's kind of this or that, and yet they kind of flowed from one to the other.
I found myself thinking in terms of continuity, in terms of the water. Instead of thinking in terms of a lake or a river or something, I found myself thinking in terms of the water comes down and then it evaporates up and then it comes back down again. Mm-hmm. And with the rose, I found myself with the same kind of concept. The rose comes up and unfolds and all, and then it's gone. Mm-hmm. And it just somehow seemed that just that continuity of things that seemed interesting came to me. I hadn't thought of it in those kinds of things until suddenly I was doing it. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think my water and my hands and my wind all look the same. As I kept going around, I did this before. But that's what
this was but wind
I
before.
Kept going back to that. It's interesting.
Well, I noticed somebody, I don't know who it was, who was bent over and, at the waist and moved past, and I thought, I hadn't thought of that. And it would take a while, I think, because we aren't used to doing this, to realize, I can use my whole body, not really just keep time to music with my feet and use my arms. So that would be interesting to try another time.
I think that's true. And I think that's what grows is one becomes more comfortable, both with your body and with the group of people you're with, that you take more risks, too. And she has rolling around on the floor doing all kinds of things that I couldn't have quite visualized myself doing at the beginning, but it became very easy. Well, I want to read you this little bit. I threw in there a woman giving birth, which is really tricky. but it is an image that is used quite often. I want to read this passage from In Whose Image God Engendered. And this really does have a lot of very fine information. This isn't a new book. I think it's been made. It's some powerful information in it. And the many references to the new birth in the New Testament also support our speaking of the Holy Spirit in feminine terms. See, in a passage that has become central to the Christian doctrine of salvation, Jesus says that we must be born of water and of the Spirit to have eternal life. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The spirit performs the female function of giving birth. The Hebrew Bible's images of God as a woman in labor reach their culmination in the New Testament picture of the spirit giving new birth through the suffering love of Christ. The image of God as a mother bringing forth life serves as a unifying strand throughout biblical revelation. In the first chapter of Genesis, we see the Spirit of God hovering over the waters and giving birth to all creation. After humanity breaks the old covenant, the Spirit of God incarnate in Christ gives birth to new creatures reconciled to God and fashioned for eternal life. The picture of God as mother giving birth links creation and redemption. This image is thus central to biblical revelation. And yet, how was it that I missed that? You know, when I was growing up, it never occurred to me to think of God as anything but God the Father. And when I started realizing how many references there were to God as mother, as well as other images, I felt so much closer to this God. I felt this God is like me. You know, this God isn't just male. There's one song that came out of it I want to sing for you.
Am I here with you?
There we go. We're not going to dance anymore. People would feel more comfortable in chairs. That's okay. If you'd like to stay on the floor, that's fine too.
It's easier to stay here than to get up.
It's for me. And I think, again, it was this Genesis image of thinking of the Creator, God, which seemed to be how easy it was to transfer that image to a female image. It's called Woman Spirit. Hosea and what you had heard that had to do with God image. I'm trying to remember what our conversation was, but I thought, oh, that would fit very well in this workshop. Do you remember what you were telling me?
I'm not sure what I was saying exactly, but I think just that, you know, as I think some people implied already, you know, we miss the real richness of the metaphors and imagery that's there. There's one passage in Hosea, actually I'm going to use in my session tonight, but it talks about, you know, God bending down, you know, to feed the child. And, you know, very biblical scholars kind of say, hey, that probably meant breastfeeding. So, you know, it was one of these female images of God that was there that, you know, we don't hear or we haven't recognized before. Okay.
Heather, any comments about that? I have a whole list of little images that came out of the Bible, but I'm interested to see if you have some others that you remember, Old or New Testament, that give a different image of God.
Well, Jesus himself said to Jerusalem, I wanted to fold you up the way a mother folds her chicks up.
Yes. Mother hen.
Jesus used that image.
I thought of the rainbow, which was given as a sign, but as that was one of my favorites as a child, as I'm sure it was for everyone. I sure see God every rainbow I see.
Here's an image of God as midwife in the Psalms. I'm not going to look up all of these, but just to sort of let you know what some of them are. But in Psalms, they have the image of giving birth to creation or helping to give birth, being a midwife to creation. Mother bird in Luke. Woman giving birth, as I said, in Isaiah and the Psalms. God is mother in Isaiah. Then some, a lot of them that are non-gender specific. God is the Holy One. El Shaddai, which was apparently interpreted for years as God Almighty, but actually can also be interpreted as God of the breasts. Well, that's definitely a female image. And I think that I'm hearing more and more people using the term El Shaddai, and that's been a new one. And Shekinah is another one that I've been hearing a lot, which also has a very ancient and rich tradition. And
But I think we err when we say it's a new one.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's happened is there was a period of time in the Christian tradition when the masculine image dominated. That was not true early on. Read the number of people who were around Jesus, and it's fairly clear, let alone the Hebrew scriptures that come before, but it's fairly clear that Jesus did not regard women as something less, and he treated them with great honor and respect, considering the society from which he came. But in, you know, it's, you know, recent, more recent terms that people have said, no, women can't do this, and they can't be this, and they can't this, and they have concentrated on the masculine image. And I think we do our tradition and ourselves a disservice to say it's a new image. It's not a new image, it's a recapturing of an old image.
It's very good. Very good.
And what was that word, and what does it mean?
Shekinah? Maybe someone can better. I have a whole sheet that just has all the different Shekinah.
Shekinah. My understanding of Shekinah is that it has to do with the beloved community. And it's an image of God's expressed in the human community. Being conscious of God.
Well, isn't it one of the Hebrew where do we get the word?
It's a Hebrew word,
and there are many, many, there's some specific number, actually. I don't know what it is. And I always associated it with the feminine side.
somewhere in my papers. I have a whole sheet about it. So if you're interested, pass me. I'll pass that on. Okay. A few things in here too. Bringing up Jesus. What was interesting to me in how Jesus used the parables, which were a way of expressing to us who God was and the depth of God's love, and it pointed out several cases in which, in the parable of the lost sheep, Jesus pictured God as a man, and then in the parable of the lost coin, Jesus pictured God as a woman, and that was balanced. It was in the same set of stories. And in the other two other parables, Jesus pictures God as a man who plants a tiny mustard seed in his field. In the second parable, Jesus shows God as a woman making bread. So again, main characters present both women and men. So I guess I have found this very healing, just spreading out this image for me personally. I'd like to hear a little bit more. I have a few more things to do before the end of class, but a few more comments from some of you in terms of God image. How have you felt like your image of God has been transformed or changed within recent times? How is it to you, who grew up, as I did, with an image of a male God? How was it? Was it traumatic if you let that go? And for many people, that is an image that still serves and is very useful and works very well. And for some people, it doesn't. So if it's an image that you hold dear, you know, that I'd be interested in your comments. If it's an image you've let go and maybe incorporated or even expanded, incorporated other images, and want to talk about that, that's fine too.
I think this is really interesting because I have two daughters who are teenagers, and I believe that this is a real struggle for them, as it is for me, the fact that, you know, that traditionally the church there is so much maleness and everything. I'm from a family that was split Lutheran Catholic, and the whole Catholic side in particular, you know, was very, very, very strongly dominated. And I have problems with the New Testament, with a lot of Paul's stuff. Because of that, so that, you know, it's something I've got to get past.
Yeah. Your comment is interesting because I think many would say that the Roman Catholic tradition has at least, if nothing else, the way in which, you know, and again, there's lots of ambiguous stuff connected with that, but at least that there's been more female imagery than in some of the churches of the Reformation.
And actually worshiping, you know, the female idol. Now, I mean the ideal of a female.
Karen, I need you to expand more on what the imagery in the Roman Catholic Church is as far as female.
Well, the exalted role of Mary, you know.
Well, yeah, but that's not sense. God.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think in some folk piety, you know, what you're saying is true, but in some folk piety, I was in Mexico a month ago, and it was incredible that, you know, cross or other imagery that we might think of as very prominent weren't prominent, but, you know, the shrines or the, you know, the...
At the Feast of Women,
But that wasn't true, it isn't true here in the States. That the mother image it is
right.
A very patriarchal church.
That's what I think.
And yet there's still something about this, because even though it's been a very patriarchal church, it still seems that Mary has been the women's God in a sense, and that women would still for birth, for, you know, all the, for so many things, they would pray to Mary. At least that's my understanding.
That
it filled a very important role in a very patriarchal church. The importance of Mary and why she became so prominent within that tradition may have had to do.
But isn't that why it remained
that patriarchal way, if you have something that sort of pacifies these women by presenting them with this sort of ideal woman that they can sort of, well, you know, here's Mary, so you guys, you know, hush up and be okay, rather than maybe Reformation style Lutheran Protestant churches have a better chance of changing their ideas of the image of God because they don't have Mary to fall back on. Is that just too far-fetched?
Because we could have quite a lengthy discussion on Mary, but what does Mary represent? What qualities does Mary represent? And that has obviously been a subject of how do you interpret, but which qualities are held up and highlighted? We're getting a little off the subject, but we could have a whole long discussion.
I guess for me, my idea of God, the image, is more his spirit, so I don't have any problem with male or female, but at the same time, I believe Jesus was born, and I believe he was a male. I mean, so in the New Testament, I'm kind of thinking about that. I still, kind of think of male when I think of that aspect. And how does that all fit in? In our, we're supposed to be able to be free to think like that, aren't we? But for me...
But yeah, you can't say Jesus was a woman. There's no way you're going to get away with that.
No, there's no way if Jesus had been a woman in that time and in that society, he ever would have been listened to.
No.
But my reading of Jesus' acts were that he was, in fact, breaking a lot of male role barriers there.
He certainly
welcoming women into his fellowship, absolutely.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
But it doesn't... He was not a woman. Yeah, I mean,
let's face it, you got to be one or the other. There's no
neutral.
I think maybe what part of the question is what was the importance of the fact that he was male? Is the importance the way he lived his life, the lessons that he taught, his connection to God? How much did that have to do with the fact that he was male and that he was a great teacher? And in other times, those great teachers have been women, but he was a great teacher in that sense, and I'm not sure that gender had to have as much to do with it as it later came to be.
For me, it didn't.
Yeah.
I think the thing that I'm finding, and what you have alluded to, and I've been fortunate in that the particular congregation in which I belong has made some strides. They've got some places to some room to improve still, but I think for me, I had no trouble. Just as I let go of some anthropomorphic images as I grew, because most children have them, and I did, I also began to realize more and more that God had to have a female side, because it said God created, I believe God created me in God's image, and I am not male, so God has to have some female characteristics. What for me has been difficult is to be in the church and have God constantly referred to as he. And as I say, fortunately, I've been involved in a congregation that's changed that somewhat and is working on doing that. And I would encourage you to, be involved in whatever congregation and to encourage it. I'll never forget a sermon that was preached in our congregation, in which the pastor referred to God the entire sermon as she, arguing on God's calendar, and used the feminine pronoun. And I'm sure there were some people who were very upset with him, but he did it anyway. And, I think that's what we can do, is to try and work within our congregations and get some of this changed and say, hey, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. And I know there are some people in our congregation who look at me funny, but when I sing some of the hymns, I don't sing he or him. I sing God. We can do it ourselves to a certain extent, and to a certain extent we can push it out then.
I think sometimes people have been very unaware of how important the issue of language is within the church. Because as I started out saying at the beginning,
it was one of the first and most profound alienating parts of the church service for me, to the point that it became extremely difficult to sit, and it continues to be extremely difficult, to sit through a sermon in which it was all male imagery. It just is like, this isn't my church, this isn't my community, there's no room here for me. And I raised two daughters who feel very much the same way. And but I think so many people, when it becomes an issue within a church, so many people trivialize it, men and women, because if it's a woman, perhaps she has always been comfortable with the male image and has really no need and doesn't understand the conflict. And for other women, it's crystal clear. So it seems, a need for education, for understanding the importance of the issue, because I think that small a thing, if that were really changed within the churches, in the whole scale, I think it would, many of the people who are marginal would come back. They would find, I mean, this along with a number of other things, but certainly that is a center, at least among my community of friends who are either marginal or out of the church, but very spiritual people. This is a key issue. And I want to read one little thing and then sing another song, and then if we have a few more minutes, I want to do a few more things. But this was, I thought, could you hand me the book, God Images and Self-Esteem? The books I'm reading from, by the way, God Images and Self-Esteem, In Whose Image God and Gender, and Women at the Well. These are all from the Holden Library, and may or may not be available at the bookstore, I'm not sure. But they're all very fine books. This is a young woman talking about her experiences of growing up. She was dominated by her father, and perfection was the key to acceptance. She knew she should be perfect and should do everything right the first time. Her attempts to be perfect, however, were complicated by the fact that her father was unpredictable and inconsistent, and his dissatisfaction frequently resulted in physical violence. It sounds like the Old Testament God. She and her brothers went to great pains to second-guess what perfection meant from day to day, over and over again, failing to live up to her father's standards of the hour. And this is a quote from her. I'd get furious when he'd come home and we would shudder, not knowing what was going to happen when he walked through the door and whether we'd be perfect enough or not. Sometimes when he would come home, everything, the peace and tranquility of the house, would just be totally disrupted, and we would find ourselves being beaten for not having washed a cup or for not having said hello soon enough. Now, women who have had a lot of abuse in their life, from the males in their life, some of them have found a lot of value in a male father image who was different from the father they grew up with. This became the loving father that they didn't have. For other women, it's been exactly the opposite reaction. It's like the last image that they would ever feel comfortable with would be a father image. And I think for me, I've gone both ways. But this is a song that I wrote really out of a 20-year struggle of coming to terms with some language issues and trying to help people to understand the importance of that. So it's called God, I Cannot Call You Father. And I wrote it to a traditional tune called Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, which is in the LBW. And I figured, I sort of had in mind a little guerrilla work here, you know, that I'd hand out the words to everybody, and if in church they were singing this song, this substitute one extra verse. God, I know you as a spirit blowing through.
Mother, give
Well, we have about 5 minutes, and I have an assignment for you. How many of you might be here on Friday still?
Yeah, late today.
Friday, well, the next workshop is Friday at this time. That's the one on biblical women. And Saturday morning, how many people might still be there? Well, I'll give you the assignment and we'll sort it out from there. I think we may put these together a little bit. On Thursday, as I said, we'll be talking about biblical women. Books I strongly recommend. They have at least two of them in the bookstore, two of the three. And the three are Woman Wisdom, Woman Witness, and Woman Word. And they're wonderful lectionaries that I have just found to be so healing and just an absolute gift when I discovered those books this year, in which it does give a context. It will go through and talk about different women of the Bible. And it will give the biblical passage, but it will also put it in context. And then beyond that, it goes into the area of art, because there's poetry and there are prayers and songs in which you take that image or what you know of that person and you expand it. And I think that's sometimes what the art can do. In fact, one out of the Dance of the Woman's Spirit, we had student projects, and one of the most powerful projects that I saw was on the woman who was turned to a pillar of salt. Job's wife?
Lot's
wife, thank you. And in which the woman took this image of this woman turning into a pillar of salt, and then she resurrected her. Because this woman represented so many who were forced to leave their home and then were chastised for daring to look back. And what woman wouldn't, who really had a bond with her community and her children and grandchildren and all the people who would have been left behind. And so it was a revisioning that story that all of us in the room were just absolutely transfixed by releasing this image.